This is a Podcast 225 production.
Welcome to the Clay Young Show.
Man, there is so much going on around these parts. Summer is starting to wind to a close. At least on the Louisiana clock, it's starting to wind to a close. And we're getting set for the start of the 2017-2018 school year for the kids. Football season is around the corner. Yes, sir. And man, the back end of the warm season is about to begin pretty soon. So there's a lot going on, and that doesn't even touch all the things going on in the news right now. What's going on, folks? Clay Young here with you on the 130th edition of the Clay Young Show here on podcast225.com, iTunes, and the Talk 107.3 mobile app. Don't forget, if you hear this show every week, if you get it and you subscribe to it, we want you to tell us what you think about what we're doing. You can email me, clay@podcast225.com. Also, you can throw us a comment on Facebook at Clay Young on Twitter, and it's really easy to contact us there and ask about what's happening with the show. In fact, our guest on this week's edition of the Clay Young Show is someone who works in business and actually was a listener to this show. He is a senior consultant and broker with Embarkers Group Benefits. His name is Alex Arena, and we will talk in just a moment about starting business, about some of the things that they offer, and just have a philosophical dialogue about being successful and working hard and how it is so much more of a process than a place. So I'm looking forward to that conversation that's coming up in just a moment. But again, we always enjoy hearing from you. Have an announcement about a guest who's coming up on the show in 2 weeks. In fact, this starts a run of good shows, even better shows. All of our shows are good, but this starts a run of even better shows with special guests. I'll tell you about a guest that I have coming on next week who I think you will enjoy hearing from, a man with a phenomenal story. I'll just give you a little bit of seasoning about that. And then a big guest coming up a week after next who is a very large get. And I am looking forward to talking with him. So I am so excited about what's ahead for us here on podcast225.com. While you're here on the site shopping this show, let me recommend The Waiting Room Podcast. The Waiting Room Podcast with Dr. Mary Catherine Rodrigue and Katie Fetzer. These ladies are phenomenal. And they, on their most recent show, talk about social anxiety. And it's a fascinating discussion. And you might listen to that and find a little bit of yourself in that show, things about you that you were thinking were agitation that might be something else. So I recommend episode 17 of the Waiting Room Podcast right here on podcast225.com. Now, if you've ever thought about going into business, if you've ever thought about leaving the company you're with and starting your own, what are some of the things that you will need as you build a staff? What are some of the mental techniques that you might want to employ to remember the fact that you go into business to make money? It's not just about feeling good, but it's about making money. We're going to talk about that with Alex Arena with Embarkers Group Benefits. And after we speak with Alex, I'm going to tell you who our special guest on episode 132 of the Clay Young Show will be. I think you're going to be surprised at it. And I am so happy to get this opportunity to speak with this person. And I'll tell you who it is after our conversation with Alex Arena here on the Clay Young Show.
This is Jeff LaDuff, retired chief of police for the city of Baton Rouge.
I'm Kelly LaDuff, co-owner of Open Eyes Safety Training and Consulting. Open Eyes is focused on providing quality safety solutions that give businesses and employees the skill set needed to recognize and react to dangerous situations.
On a daily basis, we hear yet another story of workplace violence or active shooter. Open Eyes offers a unique approach to keeping you and your businesses safe through site analysis, technology recommendations, policy review, and employee training.
To set up a consultation for your business, call us today at 225-313-9713 or visit us at our website, at openeyesafetytraining.com.
We say keep open eyes because 10% of our population cause 90% of our problems. See them before they see you.
Promote your business or organization on podcast225.com. Podcast225.com is quickly becoming a weekly tradition for Louisiana listeners. Every month, thousands hear the weekly Clay Young Show. Every week, Clay sits with some of the state's most fascinating and entertaining people. Posting your company's logo on the podcast225.com website or having a professionally produced commercial air on the Clay Young Show is a great way to access a loyal and informed audience. Get more information by calling 225-214-1550. That's 225-214-1550.
Welcome back to the Clay Young Show.
Back with Alex Arena. We were just kind of laughing about that a second ago with Embarkers Group Benefits. And we initially communicated via email because you have been and are a listener to the podcast, correct?
I am.
And we met, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, at the Days Run Together?
Yeah, I know. I know the schedules, right? But I believe it was last week, early last week.
And we talked a little bit about what you do, and in this era of, you know, what people are talking about with healthcare and what businesses are going through, I thought, man, that would be a great discussion to have.
Absolutely.
On the air, not just for established businesses, but for organizations, new startups, you know, small businesses, and I mean really small businesses with less than 50 people.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to figure out when you get to a revenue status where you can offer benefits, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real thing for companies. So first up, Embarkers. Tell me about Embarkers.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. First off, Embarkers, we've been around for 5 years.
Okay.
Started back in March of 2012.
Yeah.
And I've been going strong ever since.
Okay.
Myself personally, I've been in the insurance world for 11 years.
So,
long time veteran, you know, kind of gave my age away a little bit there, you know.
But
nonetheless, you know, so we pretty much a full scale brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything for an employer from customization, implementation of the entire benefits portfolio.
Okay.
Or we can fill gaps. We can work with some of your existing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We can fill gaps where needed.
What does that mean, fill gaps?
So in a lot of cases, a lot of our, I guess three of our niche markets or target
mm-hmm.
Audiences would be universities,
okay.
medical facilities,
okay.
Educational facilities, things like that, you know? And in a lot of cases, if the larger the organization, they mm-hmm. usually tend to have some type of benefit structure in place.
Yeah.
If you have an existing relationship, we certainly respect that. We work well with others, and so we can come in and fill gaps in wherever maybe some gaps exist. You know, maybe your existing broker does, you know, a really great job in one area, but
mm-hmm.
not necessarily in another.
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of close that gap up. So we work with, you know, plenty of larger organizations.
What about go back to smaller businesses?
Sure.
Let's say someone starts a company,
mm-hmm.
they've got 10, 15, 20 people or even less,
mm-hmm.
and they want to know what's the process of setting up benefits for the ownership and then the people who work in the company.
Absolutely. So the newer the business, I normally tend to kind of say, you know, we want to learn to crawl before we walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, payroll is the largest overhead that most companies incur.
Yep.
The second largest expense is going to be health insurance.
That's right.
So if a company's not really ready for that, and that's a part of our consultation,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure we take a look at all your risk tolerance.
Right.
If you can afford it, great.
Right.
You know,
right.
let's do it.
Right.
If not, then we say there's certainly avenues we can go down that we can go ahead and make it easy for you to build your winning team, attract and retain quality employees.
Like what? Explain that.
So supplemental, say for instance, ancillary benefits, things like your Allstate, your
mm-hmm.
Aflac, Colonial,
mm-hmm.
those types of things.
Which will cover what?
Those are going to pay you cash, whereas your health insurance pays doctors, pays hospitals, to take care of you, which
mm-hmm.
is awesome. But if you're
mm-hmm.
laid up on the doctor's orders not to come back to work or
mm-hmm.
you're in the hospital, you're not at work making money, right?
Mm-hmm.
The supplemental benefits, they don't pay doctors or hospitals directly unless you assign it to them.
Yeah.
They pay you cash directly. And so
so they to cover for the expense of not being able to work?
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Definitely.
So when you sit with somebody and you're talking about this for new businesses,
mm-hmm.
what does that consultation look like? What does it sound like? What's your discussion?
Absolutely. So first things first, we fact find. Mm-hmm. We basically want to take a look at, you know, what your company's makeup is. How long have you been in business? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your budget? What's your risk tolerance? What's your traditional makeup of your employee mm-hmm. demographic, mm-hmm. Male female ratio, mm-hmm. your age, wage, that type of deal.
Why does that matter?
Typically, we want to customize the plan that really fits the profile of the company best. Okay. You know, we're not product pushers. We're definitely not product loyal. We're client loyal.
Right, right.
Definitely. So
is it a difficult thing when someone is starting to kind of get their hands around that whole process? Because like you said, payroll is the top priority. And absolutely. If you're in a building, you've got the expense of brick and mortar.
Sure.
And then all of the functionality of whatever the business is, whether mm-hmm. it's some equipment you have to maintain or something mm-hmm. else. And then, of course, the benefits packages are right there. Mm-hmm. How would you consult with someone to structure that so that they smartly do it?
Absolutely. So it's definitely, well, going back to the initial question, is pretty difficult. Insurance is not one of the things that most people excel at. Like mm-hmm. I have friends that are PhDs and master's degree holders. I mean, just all day long. Right. But every single year, it's like clockwork.
It's as complicated as hell. The details really change so much, and you have to stay compliant.
Absolutely.
There's so much that you have to know.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. You know, and so like I said, clockwork, you know, I know I'm going to be taken to fancy restaurants because they're trying to get some free advice, which is fine. I don't mind. You know, I'll do it for free, you know, but yeah, it's definitely difficult. Right. Not an easy road to navigate, if you will. So when we come in, especially to a newer business or a mm-hmm. smaller business, like where maybe they don't have years and years of experience of mm-hmm. working with brokers or working with various carriers, mm-hmm. Our claim to fame is really making it low hanging fruit. You know, we make it really, really easy. We want to like ask you all the pertinent questions we need to try to formulate a proposal for you. Mm-hmm. By the time we bring it to you, we'll kind of tell you not only these are the plans, products, programs that we want to put in place, but here's why. You know, here's why. Your budget's this, or you know, your tolerance is this, or your turnover is this. You know, right. We want to try to reduce that type of deal. So we make it really low hanging fruit.
When you look at 2017 and mm-hmm. all of the different insurance rules and requirements now, mm-hmm. specifically after the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, and then that's about to go away, and something else is coming. No, we don't know what that's going to look like.
Sure.
But right now, kind of give us a lay of the land of insurance and how it's working and all of the hurdles businesses have to jump to kind of stay compliant.
Sure, and I'll try to keep this somewhat succinct.
Please, because you just talked about advanced degree people not being able to understand it. So we're all on the outside looking in.
Absolutely right. You know, so as of 2010, March 23rd, 2010, ACA, or you know, commonly called Obamacare, kind of changed the world of insurance, period.
Right.
So
right.
everything that we knew about insurance, health insurance, how to implement it, you know, just the rules that kind of governed it. Mm-hmm. All that stuff kind of changed, right? It was a really big blessing for a lot of folks that wouldn't, in a lot of cases, at a certain income level, that mm-hmm. couldn't really dream of getting health insurance before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd personally have enrolled probably 400 of those individuals in the plans.
Wow.
When it comes to businesses, on the other hand, there is a mandate, of course, for employers mm-hmm. that have 50, you know, 50 full-time or full-time equivalent employees.
Yeah.
Under Obamacare, of course, you know, there are tax penalties mm-hmm. basically for that, mm-hmm. But there are tax subsidies for companies with 26 or fewer employees mm-hmm. To really help them pay for most of it. Mm-hmm. So in that case, that became kind of a thorn in the side of larger companies, like mid to larger companies, but it became a really big blessing for the smaller companies.
Well, you're right, and for smaller companies, sure. they got a little bit of that help, and that makes up a large number of businesses across mm-hmm. the country.
Absolutely.
The tax hit to the larger companies is what caused a lot of businesses to have a forced downsizing because they had to balance what they were going to lose. And I think that's one of the issues that popped up with it. Now, I don't know what this current discussion is even going to turn out in the end, mm-hmm. but that issue, explain that to people who may not get it. And sure. Because so much of the discussion is so emotional and it's not reasoned. But for, as I said, for some businesses, it's like, man, we're going to have to cut some people off to make ends meet based upon this new hit we're about
to take. Absolutely, for sure. So under the new plans, so under the current plans, I mean, I literally work with companies where their health insurance budget was zero before because they just didn't provide it. Mm-hmm. Not good for the client. Oh, I'm sorry, not good for the employees anyway. But, you know, of course, it worked for their bottom line.
Right.
After implementation, literally, I had companies that went from $0 as far as the budget for that to owing automatically. If they didn't put health insurance in place, they would have paid $224,000 at the end of the year. Mm. By the time they put the plans in place, their bill was $350, but at least they got, like, you know, the peace of mind in it, you know, to...
How much was the subsidy if on a number like that?
Well, actually, this is a company with three... Well, the one I'm speaking of specifically, it's kind of for the example... Mm-hmm. They actually had about 300 employees.
Oh, so this is subsidies. So they're above that. So, for people who have smaller companies, like I do business with companies that have offices in different places, but they've got less than 50 people.
Sure.
And for and I don't know what their healthcare benefits setup is. I mean, that really isn't a part of why I'm doing business with them. Mm-hmm. But if for those businesses, let's say a company's got 20 people.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And that includes ownership or 45 people right under the number, including ownership. Mm-hmm. What does the transition for them look like, or what did that look like for them?
Yeah. So under ACA or Obamacare, there are subsidies in play. If they go through the SHOP marketplace, they can actually get subsidies up to 50% for that. So, so that's actually, it's pretty reasonable. I mean, if you structure that thing the right way, I mean, you really are paying very little out of pocket. I don't want to call it, you know, you see with the quotation marks, I know the listeners can see that. You know?
He's using air quotes, little out of pocket for you. Right. So is that an upfront subsidy, or are you paying 100% and then you are reimbursed for 50%?
Yeah, typically it is a reimbursement.
So you pay reimbursed on the month, on the quarter, on the year.
On the year. Yeah, so, most of my clients anyway.
So you have to pay it for the year before you're reimbursed.
Absolutely.
And are you reimbursed in real cash or on some deductible or deduction that you get on your taxes?
Okay,
how does that
so
work?
Now, not being a tax guy, so I don't know how.
Me neither.
Definitely, it typically tends to be a deduction. Basically.
Okay, so you get to, that's slick, man. Yeah, that's pretty slick, though. So wait a minute, that's pretty slick.
Sure.
So you get the deduction, so you never really get any money back. You just get to keep more of your money
on your bottom line. Exactly right. Isn't that the end of the game?
Isn't that slick
for business owners?
Oh wow, that's good. That's good. So in addition to benefits, talk about some of the other things that y'all do.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. So we do ACA compliance consultation, of course. That's one of the things we do. COBRA administration. We do cafeteria plan administration.
Which means what?
Basically, so COBRA, if there's an employee, a full-time employee, and they leave for any reason whatsoever, you know, they either go under COBRA or state continuation.
Sure.
COBRA, typically, they get a chance to keep their benefits for up to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the company's not paying anything for you at that particular point anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you get a chance to keep your benefits so that, you know, that transition between working for company A and going to company B, you still have some type of coverage in play just to kind of fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So we help to keep that in compliance. We help to just administer that for companies.
Right, right, right.
As far as the cafeteria plan, that's your pre-tax.
Okay.
Essentially, what the IRS is allowing companies to do at that point, and the employees, of course, is to have their deductions for their health insurance or other ancillary benefits taken out pre-adjusted tax gross. So then basically what you're taxed on as far as your payroll taxes, you know, your Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is you're being taxed on less money.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, then you really get to keep some of your money in house, and we can, of course, you know, keep you in compliance with that because you don't want to go out of compliance with that whatsoever.
No. And there's so many new hurdles for business now. Like when I talk to my accountant about all of these checks, because it seems like every year there's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are so many deductions that are taken away.
Sure.
I mean, you don't get to keep as much as people think you get to keep. Now, when you're at the Apple level, when you are so much of a cash business, and you know, it's a pain, but for smaller businesses, you have to stay ahead on that stuff and you're fighting. And if you miss a detail on changes, you will lose money, and it can have an impact on the way you operate.
Very true.
If you are advising someone right now, mm-hmm. because there are always people who are either retiring out of a career and mm-hmm. wanting to start their own business,
absolutely.
Or someone who is currently in business and they want to develop a system of managing smoothly their finances and their people and their direction. What do you tell people?
That's a good one. Okay, so like first things first, as far as like, say, just from a business owner standpoint, mm-hmm. You definitely want to make sure you take care of your legalities first,
yeah.
right?
You make sure. Because they'll come get you if you don't.
Sure will. Yeah, you know? Yeah, definitely.
yeah.
You want to, you know, kind of determine what your target market is, that mm-hmm. type of thing. You know, just want to get your game plan together, you know, really quickly, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it's time to hire the talent, that's mm-hmm. normally where we step in. That's where right. our expertise is, right?
Yeah.
Because just like an HR company, say, for mm-hmm. instance, you know, I'm a strategic partner with an HR company here in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. They definitely help you with the management of say your human assets. I mm-hmm. guess your human capital mm-hmm. assets. Mm-hmm. We basically help out in the sense that, you know, people, because we work with companies all the time where we have employees or employment potential candidates mm-hmm. that will go to another company for $2 an hour less,
yeah.
Just because they have a better benefits package.
Right,
it means a lot to people.
It does.
So that's where you call us, right? Because whether you're a mom and pop operation mm-hmm. or a really, really small operation, 10 people, you know, 20 people, 50 mm-hmm. people, whatever, you really want to have benefits that are going to be competitive with your competition out mm-hmm. there. And that's where we come in. You know, that's really where we're going
to. And then conducive to, as you said, you don't want to go broke
right.
with expenses.
Sure,
and
sure.
you get hit. I mean, like I'm sure a lot of people in business have had those years where the government just beats the crap out
absolutely.
Of you.
Absolutely.
And it's a real thing for companies.
That's right.
I've got friends who delay taxes, personal income taxes on what they've done in small businesses. They, you know, they get extensions mm-hmm. for cash flow purposes.
This is true.
And I mean, there's so many things that businesses can do. Now, I'm of a different mindset. I like mm-hmm. expenses off my books ASAP.
Right.
I like them gone.
Absolutely.
Because once they're gone and paid for, they're in my rear view.
All right.
And, you know, that hasn't always been feasible. And mm-hmm. depending on what's going on, sometimes you delay things. But once I like to get expenses gone
mm-hmm.
because, you know, cash flow is important. Mm-hmm. But when you balance cash flow, as you know,
sure.
versus debt.
Sure. That's right.
It can make the value of that money a lot less because what you owe is hanging over whatever amount of money you have. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
And so it's a practice I tell people to, you know, develop very few expenses
mm-hmm.
and debt sources
mm-hmm.
because, you know, and I'll ask you this.
Yeah, sure.
A friend of mine and I were talking about this last week
mm-hmm.
and managing assets,
mm-hmm.
human capital, brick and mortar,
sure.
Equity in a company, something that you can either turn into liquid, you know, turn into cash
mm-hmm.
or something that you can leverage to go get money
absolutely.
Because of all of the places out there that give businesses money.
Sure.
They're not really giving you money. They're letting you use their money
absolutely.
Because they see you have the potential of paying it back.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through that when someone says, okay, you know, how do I build net worth in the business? How do I build value in the business? What would you tell them?
Well, personally, as far as I go, definitely. Yeah, like you said, you want to make sure you build a lot of assets,
mm-hmm.
right? You want to get rid of a lot of liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just smart business
mm-hmm.
in general, because mm-hmm. I know some businesses will go deep into debt. You know, but when it's time to get a loan or something like that, you know, that P&L statement is going to tell a lot.
No question.
Yeah, you know, it's going to tell a lot about
you. No question.
You know? So you
no
might have
question.
The revenues, but
yeah.
if they see that you have a lot of debt to income
yeah.
ratio for your business
yeah.
anyway, it's going to make it really, really tough to get that line of credit you
right.
need or, you know, just that working, just access, if you will, to
right.
working capital.
Right.
So like you said, you know, we're just really making sure you get those assets taken
mm-hmm.
care of, you know. So, you know, I'd rather my business, to be completely honest with you, have less, if you will, overall assets per se, but real assets that we can put our hands on than to incur a lot of debt, basically.
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
There
so
you go. I mean, cash flow, cash is king as
mm-hmm.
it goes. I mean, if you've got a company, let's say you're sitting on $1.5 million,
that's right.
$2 million
that's right.
in revenue and assets,
sure.
but it takes you $800,000 to $950,000 to operate that
absolutely.
Business. And then there are these other peripheral expenses that pop up. Well,
mm-hmm.
well, you don't have money.
This is true. This is very true. I agree.
I mean, yeah. So on at the top of the wave, it looks like, man, okay. Sure. But no, because yeah. once you pay all your bills, mm-hmm. you're going to owe.
Yeah, this is true.
Which is the model that you tell people. I had a discussion with some friends about starting a business. Mm-hmm. And again, it's better to do as much as you can yourself
true.
To minimize liability and debt
very true.
Than to go out and choke yourself off before you can eat.
I kid you not. And you know, funny enough, I mean, and not to give a plug, I don't know if I can do this on your show.
Yes,
but,
you can.
But with Marcus Lemon, it's one of my, like, so when I watch TV, I typically mm-hmm. tend to watch things like Shark Tank or
yeah,
The Prophet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would always wonder early on in my business years, like say with my brokerage, when you would watch shows like that, like The Prophet, say for instance, you know, these companies are doing like $1.4 million mm-hmm. in a calendar year, and they have mm-hmm. $40,000 on the books at the end of the year to show for mm-hmm. it. You know, I never really understood that until, you know, really kind of getting grinding deeply into the business. Mm-hmm. Because at that point you realize like, yeah, you can generate a lot of revenue. Money's mm-hmm. easy to come by mm-hmm. really when you're mm-hmm. operating a business with, you know, with goods and services that people want, right? Mm-hmm. But if you incur a lot of debt, a mm-hmm. lot of liabilities mm-hmm. are on your books, like you said, and you're not really focusing a lot really mm-hmm. on asset building, you know, mm-hmm. just making sure you have those real tangible things. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they may depreciate, but they're yours. You know, you right. can use them for collateral right. and things right. like that, you know. Right. You know, I didn't, or keeping your employee base like streamlined. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
You know, you make
keeping it as small as possible absolutely. For as long as possible.
Right. You know. Yeah. So yeah. So keep it
because in lean like years,
that's right.
you have to be able to pay people.
Amen.
And that's right. the thing. It's like rainy day mm-hmm. because in business, it's been my experience mm-hmm. that it takes a very long time mm-hmm. to build a successful business.
True.
On average.
True.
Some companies can hit overnight, mm-hmm. and demand is so great, mm-hmm. and then technology evolves, market interest shifts. Mm-hmm. So a company that may require you to have 150 people to make all this money mm-hmm. over a period of time, mm-hmm. as soon as the market changes or interest in something changes mm-hmm. and people no longer are interested in your product, mm-hmm. as it stood, mm-hmm. now you're stuck with all these people.
Absolutely.
And then all the money. For instance, BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
RIM, Research in Motion, the company sure. that did BlackBerry mm-hmm. and how they had such a problem. But, you know, for a while, BlackBerry yeah. was hot.
Killing it. I hated the fact that they went down.
Hated it, man. yeah. But when Apple came along and the demand changed,
sure.
they were staffed at such a high level,
right.
but nobody was buying those phones anymore.
Yeah.
So what do you see then? Massive layoffs.
That's right.
And it wasn't just about the people. It sure. was about the number on a spreadsheet.
Absolutely.
That P&L statement said, we are upside down bad.
I'm telling you.
And that's what happened.
Sure.
So for a small business, use that, constantly evolve, mm-hmm. and always know there are sharks in the water.
Absolutely.
There are always right. sharks in the water.
Very true.
And they're either eating somebody else or they're circling you, but there are always sharks in the water.
This is true.
And so I've seen people, like a friend of mine who's in business, been in business, gosh, 40 years. Mm. And in the last 10 years, he has had such great success. Mm. And you look at it now and he's killing it. They're killing it.
Wow.
But it took a long time to get there.
I mean it. There's a synergy you can create, a culture you can really create, like where everybody in your company knows what they need to do
yeah.
and they do it well. They yeah. execute it flawlessly.
Yeah.
There's a company, actually, I don't remember the name of it and I wish I did, but there's I think they're a consultation agency. Mm-hmm. And they are listed like every year, like in the top businesses, mm-hmm. if you will, in the Baton Rouge Business Report. Mm-hmm. This company like holds its own against companies with 1,500 yeah. employees. They have yep. six.
Yes.
Six.
Yes.
People.
And they'll and they always have. Yes.
It's crazy.
I'm telling you, it Absolutely. Is the model. Stay Absolutely. Lean. I've always practiced that. Stay lean.
Absolutely.
Because again, when the fish aren't running and you sure. can't fish, you still have expenses.
Very true.
Brick and mortar. Talent, operating expenses, not to mention taxes and That's everything right. else that go on.
Very true.
It's one of those things. Don't get so big so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would venture to say demand mm-hmm. should force you to add people.
Very good.
And as opposed Very to good. Let me get all these people wow. so when that demand comes, wow. I'm ready.
That's right.
No. I need y'all to make me hire somebody.
True. Very true. That's exactly right.
Because otherwise, and then when the demand falls off,
uh-huh.
hopefully you've been smart enough to bank some cash mm-hmm. so that you can evolve your company and go do something else.
Very true.
Because Apple's going to get caught.
This is true.
Eventually, Apple will get caught. everybody gets caught.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they evolve, they're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And for small businesses, I tell people, like I remember, and I'm sure you can relate to this because you're doing your own thing here, mm-hmm. is somebody said to me some time ago, you work for yourself, man. You could just, you could kind of take it easy, do what you want or something else. I said, that's the most insane thing. I don't know anybody who works for themselves who isn't the hardest worker in his or her place.
That's what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah.
You're always on the clock.
Yeah, yeah.
There are no off days.
Those sentiments, the only time I ever really hear sentiments like that are from folks that honestly they work for somebody else.
And have no clue.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because I literally will wake up, my general schedule, I wake up, I get in, get out at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I'm home about 9, 10 right. o'clock. I go to sleep for 2 hours and I'm up again till 3 in the morning doing some work
man.
Or whatever. Until 5 when my kids wake up and that's all she wrote and I do it all over
you
again.
You can't shake
it. Absolutely. That's exactly
no
right.
No such thing as when you are your own boss.
Sure.
You get to, if that's your attitude, you're not making money.
Here. That's exactly right.
You're not making money.
Yes, sir.
Because the business eats first.
That's right.
Then the people who help you run the business eat first.
Very true.
And then you do whatever you can to take care of the clients who give you money.
Okay.
And you eat last.
Here. That's exactly
That's the
right.
way. So Todd Graves and I,
mm-hmm.
a part of a foundation, we presented Todd with a flag for a donation that he had made.
Cool.
And I went down to his HQ here in downtown Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and I were talking. He had some kids in there for his lemonade thing that they do every summer.
Okay.
You know, young entrepreneurs. And that's what he said. He said, I really want to promote entrepreneurship among kids, which I think is awesome.
That is beautiful.
Okay. There were no programs like that when I was 8 years old.
Not at all.
Okay. And you wish you had found that because it gets you to fall in love with what being an entrepreneur is at its core.
Mm-hmm.
It is innovation
mm-hmm.
and a constant status of staying ahead of demand.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one of the kids did $1,200 with his lemonade stand.
Wow.
So you know that kid's going to be worth several million dollars before he's 25 years old.
Right.
There's no doubt.
Wow. Okay.
He was selling lemonade, y'all. $1,200.
Jeez. That kid's hustler.
He's going to be something special.
Man.
And so Todd said when he was starting Raising Cane's, which I've used him as an example so many times. And then as I don't know if you've seen recently, there was a publication that called Raising Cane's the fastest growing fast food chain in America.
I saw that. I did.
His profits grew by nearly 25% last year. Yes, sir. That's right.
Wow.
See, you know what that means.
Yeah.
He grew and this is at a time that he's investing more in brick and mortar because they're expanding.
Mm.
He's bringing on more people, which means payroll and benefits and all of the liabilities. And he still grew his profit by a fourth last year.
Jeez. Yeah.
And he said in his first store, the one outside of the north gates of LSU, he said, you know, traveling back and forth and, the, you know, because he's working offshore.
Mm.
He is renting his dream so that he can one day own it. And he said all he cared about was making payroll that first month.
All right.
And giving his customers the best possible product.
I love it.
Because they were spending money with him.
I love it.
And now he's building the most amazing fast food chain. Now, if you go inside of it even more, he's doing one thing.
That's right.
He's selling chicken fingers.
That's right.
Alex, if you and I had been sitting down and somebody came to us and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a fast food chain.
Uh-huh.
And all I'm going to sell is chicken and fries and Texas toast.
Yeah.
We would have gone,
I would have missed the boat on that. I'll be honest, you know, because you know you're used to Mickey D's. They have like what is it, number one, number 13, or something like that. You know, you really think that that's the type of traction you have to have.
Right.
That's the type of inventory you have to keep. You know,
but I would submit to you that what he is selling is not chicken fingers; it is an experience.
All right.
When you go to his place, look at the enthusiasm of the kids who work there.
Right.
Look how clean
culture.
The place is.
Culture.
Culture.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Look how they serve you. Yeah. Like, look, you know, I'm at an age where I can't eat that stuff all the time, but I enjoy it from time to time because, you know, I got kids. They love Raising Cane's, especially one of my sons. He'll eat it every day, three times a day.
Is that right?
You know, but hell, he's 14, so he's got a washboard stomach, so he could do that. If I did that, y'all be passing by me at the Heavenly Gates Mausoleum over there. But he gets that it's a culture.
Sure. Sure.
His whole building. Mm-hmm. And that is a very long way of saying when you're trying to build a company,
beautiful.
It starts with being focused on what you do best and then creating a culture.
Nice.
And you have to have people who believe they have to drink the Kool-Aid.
This is true. This is very
right.
Yeah.
You got to get Kool-Aid drinkers.
That's right.
You can't get people who want to change the Kool-Aid. That's they right. have to. They you have to believe it, and your team has to believe
wow,
it.
Wow, I love it.
Can't work otherwise.
I love it. You know, I've cycled through so many different teams myself. You know, and I'm actually in the hiring process yeah. right now for both arms. Well, you know, I'm actually opening up a telesales call center.
Yeah.
On the second week of August.
Yeah.
It's kind of a secondary arm of my
right.
business.
Right.
But I'm actually hiring for both sides right now.
Yeah.
And the number one criteria. I don't care about your. To a degree, I care about your education.
Sure,
right? but not really.
Right.
Right? I really I don't care about your experience that much. To be mm-hmm. honest with you, either.
No. You need to be teachable.
Thank you very much. You know, you have that cult. If you are culture driven, as far as if you can come in here and we can create a culture.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody has that.
Like, guzzle the Kool-Aid.
That's it. We can take over the world.
Millennials and I think about this because I have a millennial, a couple of them in my house now,
mm-hmm.
And we talk about this, and it's because sometimes I'll ask him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I am more than 20 years past being in that age range. But I'll ask about, you know, the opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials are hard to teach now because they know.
Yeah.
Every freaking thing.
This is true. Information age. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
So when you sit down and want to tell them how it works, they're like, no, this is how it works. Wait a minute. I think listening is it's a virtue. It's an asset.
Sure. That's true. This is true.
Without listening, it is impossible to learn.
It's impossible to do what I do completely without listening because really I'm in direct sales.
Yeah.
Take the vehicle out of the way. I'm in direct sales.
Yep.
And so the only way to really get to the point where I can figure out what it is you actually need so I can bring a solution is by really listening.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my, like you asked earlier, like, what does that kind of look like going into a business? Really, I ask a lot of questions.
Yep.
I'll talk about the company a little bit just to kind of introduce so you know who you're sitting with.
Yep.
But really and truly, the first 5, maybe 7 minutes of that is about Embarkers.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of that interview, if it's 30, 45 minutes, is really going to be about trying to find out what you need. Like,
mm-hmm.
who are you? You know, what's your company profile? Just tell me what your goals are. How can we help you reach your goals?
Stephen Covey in one of his books about the habits of highly successful people says, mm-hmm. seek to understand, mm-hmm. then to be understood.
Absolutely.
And in business, when I get a client that comes in, I want to know them. I want to know their story.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what flavor is the Kool-Aid,
mm-hmm.
because I'm in advertising, marketing, PR,
mm-hmm.
and I keep it simple with my ad company. The slogan is, we'll make you look good. That's all I care about.
Nice.
That's
nice.
That's all I care about.
I love
it. It's not on my banner up here, but that's all I care about. It will make you look good.
Nice.
Because I think service to the customer
mm-hmm.
keeps the customer coming back.
Beautiful.
Or it runs the customer away.
Absolutely. That's true.
And so it's so wrapping up here and because I want to give you the opportunity to tell people how they can find you and either call you about your services or bring you in to bend your ear about what they can do better. If you had to, in a nutshell, give your philosophy on what is a successful business, what would you say?
That is a good question. Okay, so like when it comes to a successful business, I think there's the philosophical answer to that.
Okay.
And then there's to me, a successful business on its face is a business that's here to make money, right? Because you know,
yeah.
if you're
See?
Making money,
yes.
you know, you're going to be, you're pretty much.
That's business, how you know right? you're successful.
That's exactly right. You know, going to school for business. I mean, year one, you know, freshman year, you know, just majoring in business administration 101, if
mm-hmm.
you will, components mm-hmm. of business introduction, right?
So you think you want to save the world when you start a business.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, no, baby, no. You're there to make money.
No, you get to that. You get to that point once you made some money.
Once you made
yeah. then the world's going to be the world's secondary, basically, once you can start paying that rent without, you know.
It's hard to feed people when you're starving.
It sure is, you know. But then, yeah, after that, you know, like, so, you know, finding the needs, you know, all that other, buying this guy stuff. Yeah. You know, all that stuff's pretty good. But making some money in the beginning and keeping your books, keeping yourself in the black. It really is. You know?
And that's really the thing, keeping yourself in the black. And that is hard because that often means, again, that you get rid of debt. There's a thing about not having any cash flow. Mm. But if your company is strong, as in you are generating revenue and you have very little debt, there are places businesses can go and you'll get money.
This is true.
Because they will. Everybody gives money. Banks give money based on potential. And assets as well. But potential is a big part of that. But potential is often based on what you've done.
Absolutely.
Not what you hope to do.
And the thing about the banks really like to lend to people that don't need it.
Oh, no question. They see the revenue. And then, you know, nowadays, because I got a buddy who runs a bank, nowadays, businesses will put someone with you just to be certain that, okay, we're going to give you this money and we believe you got the potential, but let's put somebody with you just to make certain your practice is right.
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
So, I mean, I think it's a great time to be in business because the demand for things is at its highest ever level because there's so many ways to buy things. I mean, 25 years ago, the internet is less than 30 years old as we know it.
Absolutely.
But the really boom of it, I think, probably goes back less than 20 years.
It does.
And now with Amazon and all these places providing so much access to things, if you are in sales, everything from houses to sneakers to toothbrushes, if you have a plan and a team, I mean, you can make it work.
This is true. This is very true.
So, man, so now, how can people contact you, learn more about your company?
Absolutely. So our base of operations is in the Capital One building, actually, downtown Baton Rouge. So our phone number is area code 225-678-5903. Or you can reach us at sales@embarkers.net. That's E-M as in Mary, B as in Bravo, A-R-K as in Kilo, E-R-S.net. We are at embarkers.net as far as that's our website. You know, I don't know if you should say www anymore.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to anymore.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, yep, embarkers.net.
On social media?
We are. We are actually on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. So we're pretty much on all of the social media platforms.
Well, man, I appreciate it. We'll do this again. I'll bring in a couple of other friends who are in business who don't necessarily do what you do, but just to have a discussion like this. I mean, I've enjoyed the conversation.
Perfect. Me too. Definitely. Really enjoy being here.
Thanks, Alex.
Absolutely. Thank you, Clay.
This is Dr. Mary Catherine Rodrigue, and I'm Katie Fetzer. We're the owners and co-founders of The Wellness Studio, a mental health practice with locations here in Baton Rouge in Covington. We are also your host for the Waiting Room Podcast here on podcast225.com. Our podcast is a journey into the world of mental health. On our show, we're going to discuss some of the various forms of mental health conditions. We're also going to shed light on the various ways our listeners can get a better understanding of how the mind works and why we do what we do. So subscribe today to get the Waiting Room Podcast here on podcast225.com, iTunes, and the Talk 107.3 mobile app.
The Capital Area Law Enforcement Foundation is hosting a fundraiser on Sunday, August 27th in Perkins Row called A Blue Night Out. The event starts at 6 p.m. and is open to the public. It will feature live music and will honor the law enforcement agencies of the Capital Region. CALIF is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has purchased protective gear for several law enforcement agencies in South Louisiana. Save the date and make sure you attend A Blue Night Out on Sunday, August 27th at 6 p.m. in Perkins Row.
This is the Clay Young Show on podcast225.com.
You know, I really enjoyed that conversation with Alex. Very bright guy. And I'm sure there'll be other conversations with him. In fact, I got something I'm working on for down the road, talking about business and some of the things that people should think about, best business practices from people who do it very, very well. And that's something we'll be working on in the very near future. Now, I won't drag this out. I told you that I was going to announce a special guest who is, I think, a major get for our show, and it's coming up on episode 132 here on The Clay Young Show. Now, I'm going to tell you who that is, but first I want to talk about our guest on next week's edition of The Clay Young Show. He is a medical doctor who has turned his life around. His name is Dr. Larry Warner. And Dr. Warner has developed a piece of technology that can give people relief from the need to take pills to deal with mental issues. You're saying, what? What? Yes, right here in Baton Rouge, fascinating story of how someone changed his life and decided to become a contributor in so many ways and to maximize on his own God-given potential, and has created a piece of technology that is giving liberty to people that they have never known without the benefits of pharmaceutical assistance. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation and hear him tell his story. And that's on episode 131. On episode 132, this story has captivated the nation for nearly 25 years. It has been something that has become so compelling to the public, even to the degree where people who weren't even born when it happened are fascinated by the specter of this event. And that event is the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. All of us know that the accused in that case was one Orenthal James Simpson. Spoiler alert, my guest is not going to be OJ. But we are going to talk to the man who was the lead investigator in the OJ Simpson murder trial, Detective Tom Lang, who is retired now, living in California. He's written a book, and he will be our guest on the Clay Young Show. We're going to talk about his book. We're going to talk about the trial of the century, as it was called. And we will also talk about what's happening with law enforcement now and the perceptions and the way the media presents it. And of course, we got to talk about the most recent OJ news, him being paroled from that penitentiary in Nevada. So he is going to be our guest on episode 132. How friggin' cool is that? Detective Tom Lang. We'll talk about his book. We'll talk about all those things that I mentioned. And I am looking forward to hearing from him. And we'll put a post up somewhere on social media to let you know that you can ask questions for him. And I'll ask those questions when we have him on the show. I'm looking forward to that. Excited about that. I was around and very aware of what was happening with the OJ Simpson trial. It just killed productivity during the day for so many of us. And I'm sure a lot of you can attest to that. And after the fact, and last year, the Fox miniseries, and then the ESPN documentary that is, quite frankly, one of the best, if not the best, documentary I've ever seen. I mean, it was so well done. He let you make up your own mind, but taking us through the story of OJ, including his early life, issues with his father, becoming a rock star, superstar at USC on the football team, making it to the NFL, being arguably one of the top three running backs ever to play pro football, and what he did after pro football, and then that night in June, and how it forever changed the face of not only his life, and unfortunately the lives of the Brown family and the Goldman family, but media as a whole. That thing might be considered the first reality show. And Tom Lang was right in the middle of all of it. He was the detective who questioned OJ, one of the detectives questioning OJ, when OJ came back from Chicago after the murders had taken place. He also was the detective who was on the phone with OJ when he was in the middle of the low-speed chase in that white Ford Bronco. There are so many layers to this. I'm looking forward to reading his book and being able to refer to that in our conversation. But that's going to be a big one. Episode 132. Tell your friends about it. And don't forget to check out the Waiting Room podcast here on podcast225.com. You can listen to episode 17 as they talk about social anxiety. If you are downloading our show on iTunes, it's free there, you know. Hit that subscribe button and you don't even have to wait on Wednesday. It'll pop up in case there is a show that comes up before Wednesday. And before I leave, I would be remiss in not talking about something that took place in Baton Rouge. And that was the retiring of Baton Rouge Police Chief Carl Dabity Jr. Dab, as he's known affectionately by friends, has been a police officer for 32 years. He retired recently as we sit to record this close and will be officially off the job in October. That man has been the epitome of class. There have been people who have said everything about him, that he's a racist, that he doesn't care about progress, that he is in the way. Every kind of negative thing you could throw at someone has been thrown at this guy by so many people. And if you knew him, you would know that he is nothing. He could not be any further from that stuff. And I think he's going on with the next chapter of his life. And I think it's fine. And I will just say that he is a friend of mine, and I've said that to y'all on the show when some things have popped up. And I think, or I hope at some point, he will come and sit and talk with me and we can talk about the last year or so. He will not throw bombs and name call or do anything of the sort. That is just not who he is. But I would just say we should be very careful about the people we try to throw under the bus and putting a title on someone when you don't know it to be true, or repeating something about someone that you heard somewhere else but you have no firsthand knowledge of. That's dangerous. It's one of the reasons social media now has gotten such a stench, because people will slander one another without any regard of whether or not what they're saying has any truth in it. And it's a shame, but it's the world we live in. So I salute him for his great service to this community, and I stand by the fact that he's a good man. And he certainly didn't deserve the last 7 months he got. We could have ended up at this place without having to take that road. Just one man's opinion. And with that, thank you again for listening. Thanks to Alex, who was our guest on this week's show. Looking forward to talking with Dr. Larry Warner on next week's show. And then 2 weeks out, Detective Tom Lang, retired of the LAPD, one of the lead investigators in the O.J. Simpson murder trial, will be our guest right here on The Clay Young Show.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another edition of The Clay Young Show.